It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's right, it is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer, coming your way till 3 o'clock today. And Elliot, for the first time all season, really the only time this season, we get to come to people a day after a game or 2 days after a game, whatever you want to call it. We got an Eagles win the other night.
And for the only second time all year, we got a victory to talk about.
It's true.
So it's definitely true. Day of first. No, I feel good today. I got up, got my run in.
I know. Look at you, big time Bark in the Park run guy.
Bark in the Park, got my 5K in. So I'm pumped to talk about this Eagles team, which is amazing to say for a 2-4-1 team.
Yeah, man.
But you're right. I mean, we never get the chance to come pretty much right after a game, just one day after. So definitely want to hear what the people thought about that performance, because it's certainly is a tough one to figure out what to take from.
Conflicting, one of those. How am I supposed to feel about this team? I will say I did not run a 5K this morning.
Come on, man.
As with every morning, I did not run a 5K, but impressive that you did. Look, let's dive in. As it was weird yesterday, I'll be honest, doing the midday show, I came in personally feeling, if nothing else, excited that...
Well, you felt good on the postgame.
I did. I was excited the Eagles won a game where, it felt like they were going to lose. You and I, basically, the whole theme of our postgame was, wow, I can't believe they actually won that game.
Yeah.
It was exciting. It was thrilling. I know they're a bad team, but, it was fun to watch. What were your biggest takeaways from the game?
Carson Wentz got the job done when he needed to. I think that's really maybe the only positive to take from the game in a lot of ways, but it was weird being down at the link, and it is nice having fans back there, I will say. It adds to the atmosphere, but how quickly that comeback both started and was finished. I mean, that whole game, when the Giants went up 21-10, I was like, this is over. Like, this is completely done. I mean, there was no life in the team. Even the fans that were there, you could tell they were starting to check out a little. Carson brought him back, and I get that the Giants aren't the best opponent in the world, but to have two touchdown drives in the final, whatever it was, 6 minutes is incredibly impressive after how poor he was playing. And I think it just shows a lot about him. We've come in these past 2 weeks where he's played poorly, but you could never question his toughness. And I think that Thursday night was the first time all season where it was a real combination of like toughness, making throws that he should make, but then also winning. Like, that was one thing these past few weeks where you heard, Carson's doing so much with so little and, he really should be credited. Well, they weren't winning, so I couldn't really give him that much credit for almost losing with what was around him. On Thursday night, he got the job done, and that was my biggest takeaway. I watched that game and thought, if a game ends with the arrow pointing up on Carson Wentz, that is a good game for the Eagles. And he came back. It's a game he'll remember. Last year against the Giants, he led them back, and they won in overtime, and they ended up using that momentum to make the playoffs. They have two divisional games coming up, so I get why it wasn't a positive game for a lot of it, but they won. and they made the game, the plays where they needed to at the end, and it was Carson that made the plays.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling too. I thought Carson was a warrior out there. I mean, again, you know,
he takes a lot of hits.
And keeps getting back up, man, yeah. And keeps fighting. And is, again, no matter how hard the hit is, whatever, he's willing to throw his body right back in there the next play. And, yes, he holds on to the ball too long. We all know it. And that leads to some hits. And that interception was just a horrendous decision as far as I'm concerned. But, look, Carson Wentz is never going to be the most accurate, perfect passer. Like, that's just not who this guy is. We've got to accept that this guy has great qualities. They're just maybe not the qualities that certain people want to see from them.
Throwing the ball isn't one.
No, man, look, he is a warrior. Like, that guy is going to give you everything he has every game, and I don't think you can say that about every quarterback out there. So I was really impressed with the performance. I think ultimately, though, like, on a basic level.
I was going to say, so what happened yesterday? Because you feel, it seems like you feel
that's
a little
where I'm going.
Different.
It's, yeah. Again, is that, look, I feel good, but I know they're a bad team. I'm okay with the fact they're a bad team, and I'm still happy that they were able to win a game. It seemed like yesterday the vast majority of callers were just incredibly negative about the team coming off the win, and it surprised me.
So they probably are a bad team. We saw that on Thursday night for the majority of the game. They did not look good. In theory, you shouldn't have to have a comeback, an 11-point comeback in the final moments to beat the Giants. The Giants have been one of the worst teams in the league over the last, you know, few years and are going to be again this year. So, yeah, maybe the Eagles aren't a great team. But the more I think about that win and what it means moving forward, I don't think it matters they're a bad team. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they're bad, to that you know, the season's lost. Who cares if they win? Who cares if they make the division? I don't care they're a bad team. They don't have to be a good team right now. They're playing bad teams. They just beat a bad team. They're playing another one next week when they play the Dallas Cowboys. They're not a good team. Then they play another bad team when they play the Giants. So there are opportunities there to beat up on teams that you should beat. And ultimately, as long as they're in the playoffs, that's it. That's all that matters to me. If they get in, then they just have to play good that one Sunday. And this team has shown, despite being inconsistent, that they can play at a high level. I mean, they almost beat the Ravens. They didn't get the job done, but the Ravens are one of the better teams in the league. They put up 29 points on the Steelers. I can't sit here and say if they make the playoffs, they'll be one and done. I think they could win a playoff game at home. I was there last year when they played Seattle. I was at the pregame show prior to the game. Everyone thought the Eagles were going to win that game.
Yeah,
they were hot. They were at the link.
Yeah.
Seattle's very good, but you know, you still have to come to Philadelphia. And Carson got hurt, so things change. But I don't care they're bad because they don't have to be good right now. It doesn't matter how they're playing right now. All that's going to matter is, do they get enough wins to get in the playoffs, and do they play well enough in that playoff game? And when you look at this season and how it's setting up, things change when they won that Giants game. Had they lost, then you say, okay, maybe they really won't get enough wins. But Carson stepped up. They got the win. They now have 2 wins. I think they're going to have 4 wins by the time these next 2 games are over.
3 in a row?
Wow. So if this team can win 7 games, they're probably a playoff team. And once you're in, that's really all that matters. So I understand the negativity. I understand all that. But I don't care that they're a bad team right now because they don't have to be a good one right now.
I mean, yes and no. Like, I'm with you. Look, in theory, all they need to do is win these next 2 games and then kind of build and move forward. But, like, ultimately, they're a bad football team, like a flat-out bad football team. Pretty much across the board from a roster perspective, certainly when you factor in the injuries. I mean, they're a bad football team. They barely beat the Giants. And again, while I was thrilled by the way it happened and I loved watching Carson get a much-needed win and, you know, show how clutch he can be and all that type of stuff, I mean, I didn't come out of that deluding myself into thinking that this team has some sort of a real chance to make magic happen.
Things can change.
Look, you know, that's my rallying cry.
Right.
Week-to-week league. I do agree that, but, like, all right, so how could things change to the point where come playoff time, this is a team that you feel like could go in and have a great game and win a game? Like, we're talking about the worst competition in the league. You think that they're facing a legit team in the playoffs?
We saw exactly how things can change. We saw it on Thursday night. When Carson is playing well, this is a good team. Because when you have a good quarterback, you're a good team. Flat out. I get that this roster has some problems, but the defense only gave up 21 points. They forced 3 turnovers. The defense had rough back-to-back games for sure against, you know, Baltimore, and then, you know, 21 points against the Giants, I think is a good job. But ultimately, if Carson is playing at a high level, they are a good team. I still think Doug is a very good head coach. I know there's skepticism about him out there. Some of those decisions he made against the Giants were not great. but he brought them out in tempo, got the offense going. And ultimately, if Carson's not playing well, there's not much he can do. So I think if Carson can turn it around and the arrow is pointing up, it might be pointing up from dead last, but it's still pointing up. He is playing better week after week. This team can be, they can win a playoff game if they're at home. They can. So I can't sit here and say the season's over. I can't sit here and say I want them to lose. It just doesn't matter to me that they're a bad team now, because the problems that we all see with this roster will be fixed once Carson improves. A quarterback masks a lot of things. If Carson's playing better, the receivers don't matter as much. If Carson does a better job in the pocket, the offensive line is fine. If Carson, you know, runs the plays correctly, then Doug's a better head coach. Like, the quarterback matters a lot. That's why you pay him so much money. So this idea that even with the great Carson, they're still incredibly flawed, that's not true. Once Carson starts to play better, the roster around him will look better. The moves Howie's making will look better. So if you still have belief in Carson, and I think a lot of people out there still do, then it doesn't matter what's happening right now. You just have to get to the playoffs and see what happens after that.
215-592-9494. I get your point. I'm a big believer in the idea that great quarterbacks raise everyone around them. And I think we're seeing that with Carson. Again,
it's like, not even debatable.
The roster that he went out there with on Thursday night, considering the injuries, I mean, is about as bad a roster around a quarterback as we've seen an Eagles quarterback have in a while here. You know, I mean, that's a bad roster when you consider no offensive line, no protection. Right. You know, and look, I think Travis Fulgham's a legitimate NFL player. I'm really excited about that guy. But for the most part, Richard Rodgers and
right. Injury,
Boston
injuries
Scott.
Played all, a part
yeah,
in that.
Yeah, agree. I'm not. This is not on Howie. You know how I feel about Howie. We'll get to all that and stuff. But just from it, from a roster construction plus all the injuries perspective, I mean, he went out with a MASH unit and he found a way to win a game against a bad football team. That's my concern. I think that there is only so much that Carson can do, and I think we saw him do a lot of that, but at a certain point, you need some help around you. You need someone to be able to make plays for you, and I know, again, Travis Fulgham. It's hard to say everyone stinks when Travis Fulgham's out there because I have been so impressed with him. I do think he's a legitimate NFL wide receiver, but it's hard to look at that offensive line, to look at the beating Carson's taking. I mean, I'm concerned Carson might not even survive till the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But I also think we have to be open to changing our minds. And I think that the beginning of the season was so bad and so ugly that it cemented a lot of people's opinion. And I don't know if you're completely there with Howie, but I know you've been one of Howie's biggest critics. And you were at a point where you're basically like, look, Howie has to go, right? And I think that we've had people call in and say, we want this team to lose because Doug isn't the answer, or Howie's not doing a good job. And if they win, then maybe you don't get rid of Howie. But you have to be willing to change your mind. And the first 3 weeks of the season are gone. The last 4 weeks, they've looked like a much better team. They beat the Niners. They almost beat the Steelers. They were competitive against the Ravens, and they beat the Giants. I mean, if I would have told you going into those four games, they would go 2-2 and be competitive in every single one after the first
you'd
three,
take it.
You would have taken it.
Yeah.
And I think also, and look, it's been ugly at times. I'm not disputing that. The game on Thursday night was tough to watch for parts of it, but they won, and the whole game does matter. What happened in that fourth quarter matters just as much, if not more, than what happened in the first quarter. So you have to be willing to change your mind, and I think that there was such negativity to how this season started, and rightfully so, that some people are cemented in. But if you take a step back, this team has been competitive. If Carson plays good and you have a good quarterback, that masks other problems, and the NFC East is right there for the taking.
Historically,
I mean,
awful.
It's even worse than last time we did this show last Saturday, because we saw the Cowboys get absolutely annihilated on Monday night. So the division is right there. They are going to be a playoff team, more than likely, right? Like 70%. I mean, unless Carson,
I think it's 61% is the current whatever.
Right. So they're going to be a postseason team. And if they get there and they win a game, then things look a lot different. And that's just where I'm at with it. Like, yeah, they're bad, but I can't get too worked up about it. It doesn't matter to me that they're a bad team.
215-592-9494. This is kind of funny because this is like very much what I always say. You know, I am, especially in the first month of the season. That's why I said to you 100 times, like, I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to end Doug's career. I'm not going to end Carson's career off the first month of a season coming off a preseason. So it is hard for me to, like, be on the other side of this now. I think you're making really strong points.
And that's the other part of it is I think Doug especially has earned the right to get the benefit of the doubt. He's been in the playoffs the first, you know, the last 3 years, obviously won a Super Bowl a second year. So I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. Howie has as well, maybe not as much as Doug, but I think he's earned it. Now, you know, I'm not a big Carson guy. So I think Carson has not earned the benefit of the doubt. He has to prove that he can go and do it. But these are still three guys that have shown they can win at the NFL level. So, you know, the first three games were bad, but you have to look past that and look at what this team is now and look at what they could be. And the schedule is tough, which is really the kind of the hardest part.
I think that's one of those things that kind of when people, like in the back of their minds,
yeah,
it's
the schedule
always
there,
you know?
But if you just look at the team itself, the defense has played well last week. Carson's improving. And it doesn't matter to me that they don't have these receivers because Carson plays better with them.
215-592-9494. I will say, I thought, and check out our post-game pod at Go Birds Pod, iTunes, Spotify, all that type of stuff, wherever you find your podcast, Go Birds Pod. I actually was very critical of Doug after the Giants game. If they had lost, I would have put that game more on Doug than on any other individual person. The roster is a separate discussion. I put everything on Howie from a macro sense. But that particular game, I thought Doug had a rough game, and I said it to you in the post-game pod, the short yardage stuff. I mean, really disappointed with the short yardage play calling and just his game management, the challenge flag thing. I thought he had a lot of issues, but I will say, and to your point, and looking at the history of Doug Peterson, like, man, this is a football team that particularly after the first 3 weeks of the season, after the tie, him punting at the end, giving, you know, not going for it, all that type of stuff. Like, it's a very easy situation to see where a team could have quit on a guy, where a team could have quit on it, not just give up on the whole season, but just like maybe not fight the same way you would expect them to fight. This team has battled, man, every single week, whether it was the Steelers, whether it was the Ravens, whether it was the Giants. In fact, in all three of those games, they're behind double-digit points late in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, and they found a way to fight back, and granted, they only won the one of those, but I do think that Doug Peterson has to get credit for that. As bad as I thought he was strategically from a play-calling perspective and decision-making perspective in that game, the fact that his guys not only never give up week to week, but never give up on a game, man. Like, well, that is impressive. That's something that you have to acknowledge.
I'm not a big, you know, we wanted it more than that team type of guy. I think when players say that, it's easy just to be player speak. I don't know how much it really means. But I thought John Ritchie made a really good point talking about the difference when you just watch the Giants and the Eagles. The Eagles did play harder than the Giants, right? I mean, you could see the difference
no
on the sideline.
No question.
Right? Especially once they got things going. So, but my defense of Doug, and I've heard him be criticized quite a bit on this station, everyone wants him to be imaginative. That's hard to do when you're shuffling guys in and out every single week.
I get it.
So it's just, you know,
but
they play
but
hard.
But same with Carson, too. I do think that's not, you know, where
well, but
the
Carson's
reps,
accuracy
but
is
the
not
reps
impacted.
You have with these guys, like the way they're running routes, where they're going to be, all this stuff, and then also the offensive line breaking down all the time. It's like you almost feel like you have no time ever to get rid of the ball. Like, I can understand how those things are going to mess with things like accuracy.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Carson, there's less of an excuse there than there is for Doug.
215-592-9494. Let's start it out like we always do in Abington with our good buddy Tom. You have Tom.
Yo, James Seltzer, producer extraordinaire, but so much more. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you, Tommy?
Good.
What up, man? What up? Come on. They won on Thursday night. I know you got to be
feeling
good. My
man's the positive one today. I'm out here talking playoffs, playoff victories.
Borderline defending the Broncos.
I agree and disagree with Elliot today, but man, two times took you out to the woodshed this week.
I disagree on that. I disagree. I actually think I won that debate pretty convincingly.
You think you win every debate?
Yeah.
That's
fair.
I will say Twitter felt Ike Reese won that debate. But,
probably going to happen no matter what. He's got the Ike bump. You know, like it's just being like you're going to win a little bit.
I got an early prediction for you guys for the Cockroaches, but I got a rant in here. So let me start off by saying, the conversation for the past few weeks over the whip has been, you know, who's more responsible for what we're seeing, Howie, Carson, right? So you've been beating up on Howie, James, and I agree with that. Like, you know, I think it's totally warranted, but then ESP points out this week, you know, we're starting to see progress, like the young receivers, Mylata developing, he found Fulgham, so you got to give him credit
Sweat.
For that.
No, I agree. Look, I will give credit where due. I mean, Fulgham, Mylata, like Herbig, I mean, there has been a lot of later round or, off the scrap
heap
type moves that are working.
Like Howie's showing signs, right? Mm-hmm. Like some of these things are working out.
And then you hear
out.
About the Jake Elliott contract and you're like, whoops,
Okay.
But yes, go ahead.
But then you look at Carson, and Carson, listen, it's like night and day from the beginning of the season to now. He's the most improved, and he will continue to do so. If you don't see that, I don't know what you're looking at. Moving right along to Dougie P. This is the guy who I've been beating up, so here comes my rant.
All right.
So with Doug, you guys know he penned a book called Fearless. Well, I got a sequel for him. He could call it Tentative, because that's what he is. He's tentative. He's unimaginative. And most dangerously, he's very predictable. There's no creativity, especially, as James just pointed out, short yardage, goal line, red zone, all things they excelled at in 17. Thank you, Frank Reich. Okay?
He's continually going down.
The other two guys, you could point out improvement.
Yeah, but here's my thing. And I thought on Thursday night, the difference between Doug's bad performance on Thursday versus the rest of the games is there's a lot of games where you can point and say he wasn't imaginative, didn't roll Carson out. I thought on Thursday it was more individual calls, like the Hakeem Butler call, the third and one call, both the two-point conversions. But again, like, what do you want Doug to do when every week, I mean, he didn't know if Deshaun's playing, then Deshaun plays, but then Deshaun's out. Like, Lane's going
to
play, then he leaves.
Return a punt and gets him hurt, and I hold him responsible for that.
I don't blame him for that. I mean, that was a late hit.
But also, they've done that with Deshaun for years, like, where if it's a big situation.
But
look, it's a big situation in the game. I'm sure Deshaun wanted to return the punt. He hasn't been out there that much this season. You know, he's healthy enough to play. I'm not going to kill him for that. Kill the guy who came in for the late hit. Like, that's not Doug's fault.
But really quick, Tom, really quick, Tom, to your point, though, like, they did put up 28 points against the Ravens. They put up 29 points against the Steelers. They put up
– in spite of Doug.
No, I disagree. It can't be in spite of Doug, but because of Carson. Like, they're very much attached to that.
I know. You take the opposite. Like, you make the excuses for Doug, and in your eyes, I make the excuses for Carson, but they're the same excuses.
Well, at least we're honest with each other.
Okay. I guess that's fair as well.
So how you feel about the Cowboys game, I guess? You said you got an early prediction.
Okay, so, yeah, early prediction. I got the good guys 45, the Cockroaches 33, and a Jake Elliott get-right game.
Oh, I love it. You've been on your game with the kicking stuff this year, Tommy. So.
I have a good one,
a pleasure, my friend, a pleasure.
Man, a Jake Elliott get-right game really sums up how 2020
is
going.
Yeah, well, it's sad that we really need a Jake Elliott get-right game.
He's not going anywhere.
No,
so.
Well, that's the problem. Well, more on that, actually.
Team Elliott, though.
Come on, even though he spells it weird.
He does.
Coming up next, though, because I don't know if a lot of people know that. I saw a lot of people, whether Twitter, calls, whatever, talking about getting rid of Jake Elliott. Is it time to bring in a new kicker? Is it time to at least try guys out? Sadly, that's definitely not going to happen.
No.
Elliott Shore Parks is going to tell you why next. It's Elliott, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. But let me remind you that so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us and have set up their accounts and are having a blast. We legally betting on sports makes the games more fun, and like you, we all love the home teams, and that's why we go with the home team and have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. Our team at Parks Casino Sportsbook are right here in Bucks County, and that means your action, your money, they're safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. It's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. Elliott and I have been having a blast using the Parks Sportsbook app. It's intuitive. It's fun. You can bet on any game on the slate. You can bet on how many touchdowns will be scored. You can bet on yardage, anything you want. In fact, a game I really like tomorrow, Buffalo heading in to take on New York, the other New York team, a.k.a. the worst team in the sport. Somehow, Buffalo's only a 10.5-point favorite coming off two losses. I think they throttle New York tomorrow. I think that's a no doubt about it. Download the app now, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. Sign up now. Here's the deal. You get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, $500. Just download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Again, that's parkscasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your bet as a refund on your loss as a free bet. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Elliott Shore Parks, James Seltzer. Does it matter that the Eagles are bad?
Can't believe I'm saying it doesn't, no. But I just don't think it matters.
Unexpected.
Because the big problems with this team will be solved once Carson starts playing better.
215-592-9494, and of course, reaction to the game on Thursday night. Let's start it out in Jersey with my good buddy Jimmy. Jimmy, good day, sir.
James, Elliott, good day to you, fellas, and go Birds.
Go Birds. How you doing today, Jimmy?
Having a good day, fellas. I want to start with a couple comments. And in an echo, I'm going to get off of this speakerphone.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would help. You did sound a little further away than you normally do, Jimmy.
I do like talking on the phone on speaker sometimes.
Well, yeah,
I
know. It's just it doesn't translate to the radio well. So that's it's good work by you,
so
Jimmy.
What's your thoughts?
Any better phones?
Yeah, it's better. Go ahead.
Okay. Comments. I go back to the 60s with some bad teams that went 2-12, 3-11, and this team that we have has a lot more talent than those teams did. Mm-hmm. We've got bad conditioning, which we've got the rest of the season to round into shape. We've got a lot of guys injured, which we've got a good chance to get a lot of them back before the end. What I would like to see is a strong finish last three games with everything running on all cylinders, no matter what it looks like now.
Yeah.
What I saw Thursday, it was great seeing them score on the opening drive. They don't do that nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the next 40 minutes, they look like a Max Sennett comedy. And it was nice seeing them rally at the end, but we're going to need more out of it.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
well, really quick, I think your point about the end of the season is a good one, because Doug's record in December is something like 12-4, if not better. I mean, he rarely loses end of the season games. So if he can get the team going into the playoffs, you're right. That is all that matters.
And I don't think Wentz has ever stood taller than he is right now. I mean, this guy is under fire like nobody's ever seen, and he's standing tall back there, which leads me to my suggestion and question. Is it time for Wentz to start calling his own plays?
Jimmy, good call. Look, I think that he does have the ability at the line to change things and all that type of stuff. I don't think he's, Peyton Manning yet or anything like that at that level.
Yeah, look, Doug is still a good head coach. Doug's offense works. What it needs is Carson to be more consistent with the accuracy.
And I do think that it does need a bout of some new stuff in there, a little more creativity.
But it's tough to do that.
I know, with players who can't execute, with players who don't know the routes they're running and all that. And
a quarterback that's not accurate.
But I know what you're saying, but I think
it's a big part of it.
But again, you got to figure out what your quarterback does well and put him in situations to be successful.
Yeah, but you can't, and Carson can improve, but when your quarterback's biggest problem is throwing the ball, that is tough to coach
around. Again, I think you overrate the throwing the ball thing. I mean, we've seen
he's one of the least accurate quarterbacks in the league.
The throw to Boston Scott was a perfect throw.
Yeah,
I
thought it was the best throw of his career, to be quite honest, just in terms of the difficulty standing in the pocket.
My point is I think it's harder to be consistent with accuracy and stuff when you're working with receivers who you've done so little work with, where you don't know where these guys are going to be, where you don't know if they're running the exact right routes. And then on top of that, you've got rushers in your face every time you're in the pocket.
That's part of it, but he's also missing throws that if I went out and ran the route, he should be able to hit me on that.
Look, he's missed some of those throws for sure.
Less and less.
Less and less, exactly. Yeah. And I do think that it's all part of also when you're constantly under pressure. Like, it's hard, even when you're not under pressure in those moments, to get that out of your head, to like every player under pressure. When you're clean in a pocket, it's hard to not still kind of feel that. And that's on Wentz. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying I can at least kind of understand where it's coming from. Let's go to Abington and talk to Rob. Hey, Rob. Hey, buddy.
What's going on, my man? I never talked to you on Saturday.
I know. Only behind the glass, as they say. Very exciting. What's up, man?
I'm liking this. Look, I'm a like you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Every week I'm on Go Birds, regardless if they lost week before or not. My problem is, and no offense, Elliot, but the last caller said it best. You make a lot of excuses for Doug, but you're so hard on Carson. And some of the things you say on Carson is absolutely correct. But the excuses you make for Doug, it doesn't make sense, because you could say the same exact thing.
Well, so first of all, I think it's an interesting point. I'm open to the idea of me being harder on Carson than I am on Doug. But I think why I feel that way is because Carson has to execute the plays. Like, we've seen Doug succeed, and it was in a smaller sample size, but we have seen Doug succeed with Nick Foles at quarterback. And when he has a quarterback that gets rid of the ball quickly and delivers it accurately, we've seen Doug's offense works, and that just happens to be Carson's two biggest problems. Like, Carson can do a lot of stuff that Nick Foles can't. But what Carson is struggling with right now, that traditionally Nick has been good at, is getting rid of the ball quickly and delivering it accurately. And I think it's hard to judge Doug when the quarterback is playing at that level. Now, you're right. Maybe I'm not viewing Doug as harshly as I should, but I do think Carson's problems make it hard for Doug to look good.
Can I ask you something in regards to that, though?
Yep.
All right. I'm a Nick Foles fan, so I got to be careful how I say this.
Amen.
We all are. I love that guy.
There's been games when Nick Foles looked just as bad as Carson has looked.
Even worse. I mean, Foles sometimes has looked as bad as anyone. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we can't just put that, it works with Nick. Not always.
And look, to your point about Nick, I actually thought Thursday night was a game that we in this city always credit Nick Foles for winning, right? I mean, Nick Foles very rarely throws like 5 touchdowns and they win. Normally, the game Nick Foles wins is he's,
mediocre,
whatever for most of the
and
game.
And then he comes through when it matters.
And he's big at the end. So that was a game that if Nick was the quarterback, then I think everyone would be calling in and saying, Carson would never win that game. Like, that's why you love Nick Foles. But Carson won that game. He won the type of game we see Nick Foles win.
Well, this is true. I also seen receivers in the same, like, this goes through to something else that y'all said about receivers not being in the right spot. Carson's taking sacks because there's nowhere to throw because I see 4 receivers in the same area. I can't blame Carson for that. That's play design or receivers not doing their job, but it makes Carson look bad.
Robin, great call. And that's kind of what I was going at too when you bring up the stuff with Doug where it's like, okay, well, Doug can't execute his playbook or can't have as many plays because he's got guys who can't run these plays. That has to also extend to Carson a bit too in the idea that these are not the best options to run these plays with. And thus,
I just don't think it extends as much, though. Because
I agree to disagree a little bit.
We think Travis Fulgham's pretty good,
yes,
right? And your point about receivers running the wrong routes and all that, we don't know. But we also, when you watch the games, I don't think you see that. Like, I don't think there's lots of examples. I mean, remember
hold up really quickly. When I say wrong routes, I'm not saying like they're in completely the wrong spot. I'm saying like they needed
half
to go
half a yard different.
Yeah, literally, and that stuff in terms of timing and accuracy, throws makes a big difference. Can make a throw that is where it's supposed to be look incredibly inaccurate just by him going a half yard the wrong further. You know,
and there's truth to that. But I also think a lot of times the mistakes Carson makes don't feel like they have to do with the receivers. It's like, he brought up how Carson gets pressured because nobody's open. There's truth to that. But another reason Carson gets pressured is because he has a poor pocket presence this year. Like, there is times where their pocket is clean, but he's spinning around.
Totally.
He's moving 5 yards back.
That's kind of what I was talking about before. Not an excuse. He needs to figure it out. But I think because he's been under pressure so much, it's affecting when he's not under pressure because he's kind of got that I led with that. I said, it's not an excuse. It is on Carson. Yep. I'm just trying to explain what I think could be happening.
But that's why I think it's more blame is on Carson than Doug, because Doug can't go out there. And frankly, he wasn't a great quarterback, so maybe it's a good thing he can't go out
Doug
there.
Doug couldn't have executed
right?
anyway.
Doug is definitely a good head coach. Doug is definitely a good offensive mind. I thought he had some bad play calls on Thursday night, but Carson is the one that has to execute it. Like, that's why Carson gets $35 million a year. He has to make these plays.
215-592-9494. Let's go to South Philly and talk to my brother. Hey, Darren.
What's up, brother? Hey, Elliot, I just want to thank you for being the greatest baby put to sleeper on planet Earth. My 10-month-old heard your point about Carson and instantly nodded.
That's why I do it, man. That's why I do it. That's why I do
no,
it.
No, you don't. No, you're just a horrible.
That soothing voice.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
No, it was just a bunch of BS.
Well, let's hear what you disagree with then. I don't want to wake your baby up.
I'm out. I stepped outside. Let's first agree that Travis is the best number 13 we've had in the 10-plus years in Philadelphia Eagles history. He's definitely better than Nelly as of right now.
Definitely playing very well.
He's playing really good.
Look, Nelson, I think Nelson was underrated, but Travis Fulgham has done
well.
Nelson had one really good year here and was a big member of winning the Super Bowl, and I will always appreciate that, but I think he clearly underperformed every other year he was here.
Yes, I would agree with
that. I'll agree to that. All right, number 2, let me ask you this. Receivers and quarterbacks have to develop timing and everything, correct?
Correct.
If Carson doesn't know who the hell is lining up every week and there's no training camp, how is he going to develop that rhythm and timing?
Yeah, no, that's part of it. I acknowledge that. But a lot of the mistakes we're seeing Carson make don't seem to have to do with timing. I mean, that interception, but the interception against the Giants that he just lobbed up into the end zone.
That was a terrible decision.
Throw, but Alshon was there. He knows never to give up on a play. That receiver, to me,
no, I disagree with you on that.
First of all, Alshon and Carson. You're right, actually. He didn't do much there, but at the same time, like, you just can't. It was double coverage. That was a clear throw the ball out of bounds situation.
No, I agree.
It
was a bad throw, but the receiver could help his quarterback out by trying to break
all right,
up.
But you also can't start the call by saying how good Travis Fulgham is and then also then back up by saying, but the talent around him is not great. Is your issue more the talent or the time that they have? Because they haven't had a lot.
But you're not getting to my point. The previous caller sat there and said Doug's play calling you sat there and said it's not the same with Nick Foles. It's different. The play call, the games with Carson, Nick Foles, and the play call is different. I have yet to see Doug have the creativity throw a flea flicker, a Philly special, anything.
Well, I think that's personally because the
Darren, great call, brother.
Two things. One, the roster is not as good. And I also think when your team is not as good, it's hard to, you know, call a flea flicker. I mean, he did call a play with Jalen Hurts where they threw the ball twice across the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I thought it was a dumb play,
yeah,
but it was
I
at least
too.
I guess it would qualify under creative.
I get what he's saying in the sense that like it does feel like a lot of the short yard stuff, we're seeing the long wind sneaks on like the one that was like a yard and a half and you're trying to sneak it there or run it there. It just doesn't seem like for the guy who, whether you want to say him or Nick Foles called the Philly special, whatever, the guy who decided, yeah, we're running the Philly special in this spot in the Super Bowl, and I get it. I know he had guys who could execute the play and it's easier to do it. I still am just not seeing creativity, even if it's not as complicated or as trick a play or whatever, just like do some motion.
But maybe
do some
Doug
weird
doesn't
stuff,
think
like,
they can do it.
It's possible, but you got to try, man.
But
like,
why
running Carson into the line isn't working in these situations?
And I'm not saying
knows it's coming.
I'm not saying I believe this, but if you don't think your team can do it, then calling it is not a good idea.
Well, that's true too. But again, maybe figure out what your team can do and be a little more creative. Is all I'm saying. At least, and look, I think particularly coming off the Raven end of the Ravens game and Thursday night, it's just particularly fresh in my mind. I'm not saying Doug's bad at it forever. I'm just saying I've been disappointed lately. 215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio. It's Elliot. It's James. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. James Seltzer, Elliot Shore Parks, coming your way until 3 o'clock. I always do the, and 24 hours from now, Merrill and Mike on the call. Can't do that.
Not this time.
No Merrill and Mike tomorrow. Nice day off after a W yesterday or 2 days ago.
One game in the next 22 days, I think.
Wow.
Something like that, because they go right off to the Cowboys game into the bye week.
Wow, so two games. Well, duh. Wow,
yeah.
Jeez.
So they don't play this Sunday.
Don't they go to the? Oh yeah, it's Cowboys by Giants after that. Wow. For some reason, I thought it was Cowboys Giants by.
No, it's so obviously they don't play tomorrow. Then they have the Cowboys next week. By the way, Cowboys week coming up. A little sneaky.
Yeah, it's Dallas
after
week,
having,
baby.
Yeah.
Dallas sucks. For those who need to hear it,
there
don't
you go.
Know it. I'll,
that's James. That's your safe space, right?
Well,
there.
Again, Dallas sucks.
There
I'm,
you go.
I'm just speaking facts here. You know, just
you just sound like you were born to say it too. There's just something about the way it rolls off your tongue that it's like that's what you were meant to say.
I've,
so
yeah, it's been a long time of saying it. So
yeah,
it
well, they definitely
well.
Suck this year.
They do,
for sure.
Baby.
So they don't play tomorrow. Then they play the Cowboys. Then they're off. Then the Giants. Then the Browns. So only one game over the next, like I said, 22 days, which is great for this team.
Well,
especially,
and especially
with the
Browns there, I think, you know, we talk about the toughness of the schedule. They still have the Packers and Seattle, and like there's some tough games left on the schedule. The Browns are not an easy game, but at least
it's a winnable game.
A winnable game. That's where I'm going.
I think also the Saints in December is looking not as bad. In my opinion,
yeah, Saints,
I think that looks like a winnable game.
They got some issues going on too. This whole Michael Thomas thing is weird. So.
Right. And look, Green Bay is going to be tough. Seattle is going to be tough. There's definitely tough games left, but they've also had tough games already.
Yeah. No, and look, I mean, you know, they played the Ravens tough. They played the Steelers tough. Like, you have to think that they can play the Browns tough for sure.
Well, let me ask you this real quick before we go back to the calls. For the Ravens game, I'm undecided on this. How much of that do you think is them just coming back, playing well
versus
later
the Ravens
versus kinda, Ravens
well,
taking
well Richie
the foot
off the ball. That was Richie's whole thing is Richie was just like the Ravens let up. I think that's certainly part of it. We had Shiel Kapati on. He said him watching the film it certainly looked like
they
certain
didn't blitz
like
as much.
Marcus Peters he cited as someone who didn't look like he was giving it his all in the second half and stuff, but look, a game 60 minutes and I think even being down 31-14 and fight or 30-14 whatever it was and fighting the way they did, I think you get credit for, even if the defense is making it a little easier than they should be. So I think that's part of it, but that doesn't mean I'm not giving him any credit for fighting back in the game.
All right. I'm just torn on it, but I think that's a fair way to look at it.
215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, Elliot's going to tell us why Jake Elliott is probably not going anywhere anytime soon. But first, let's go to Cherry Hill and talk to Dominic. Dom, buddy, how are you?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
What up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. It's great to speak to you guys again. Go Birds, as always.
Go Birds.
But I'm interested to get your thoughts on this regarding Wentz because, you know, I'm a big Wentz guy, and I'm starting to go, like, downhill this year. I'm not as high on him after even the last game as a lot of others are. But I'm not a negative person. I'm pumped about the Eagles, but I am getting worried about Wentz's vision of the field. I noticed on at least two plays, Fulgham was actually wide open on a play. I don't know if you guys know. I don't remember exactly. I know it was in the first half. but he was wide open on a play, and Wentz never looked in that direction. Like,
yeah,
what you know what I'm saying, Elliot?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so here's what I would say about that. I do think Carson has been making poor decisions from the pockets, from the pocket, and that manifests itself in a lot of ways. I think what James said earlier was a good point. It seems like he feels the pressure coming early. Like, I don't know if that's because of his injury history or just because he has been hit so much this year, and that's natural, but that, I think, impacts your vision down the field. I also think what Carson does a lot, and this is a flaw, and I think it's why it's led to some of his turnovers, he locks in on guys. Like, you can see when the ball is snapped, he looks right where he's going to go, and he almost always goes that way. And if not, like, he doesn't go through his reads as well, in my opinion. So I agree. I don't know the specific play you're talking about, but each week, and watching from the press box gives me a little bit of a more unique view, you can see guys are open and Carson's not getting there.
I will say, though, there are other extenuating circumstances with that. Again, with pressure, you sometimes can't get through all your reads. And to be fair, look, we're very critical of the guy we watch play every week, but the vast majority of quarterbacks have those exact same things. If you go back and watch game tape, for the vast majority of quarterbacks, there are situations where there's an open guy and they miss him. Like, it happens.
Well, and Dominic, real quick, let me give you my quick take on Carson, because what you said, I think, is where a lot of people are at. That coming into the year, you were very high on him. You were, like you said, probably part of the LTBB with Ike Reese, right? But
yep.
I think that what really the case is what happening with Carson is he was not a top five quarterback. So holding him to that standard, he was never going to reach that. As someone that would probably be viewed as a Carson quote-unquote hater in the city, he's also not as bad as he is now. I think Carson is still somewhere between like 11th and 15th best quarterback in the NFL. So I think things are going to even out, but I think Carson's a little bit of a victim to expectations from him that just were never realistic. He's only ever been a top quarterback 1 year out of 4 years prior to
but
this
to be
season.
Fair, also the 1 year he had a
one
great
year.
I know, I'm saying it's also coincidentally the 1 year he had a truly great roster around him. For what it's worth.
Okay.
That's such a good point, though, that you say that he's around 11th to 15th. That's how I'm feeling. And I do think the expectations thing, you're dead on, because I did have those higher expectations, but I got to reset them. But I still felt like I loved the way he's been clutch, though, coming through games at the end. But my last thing is, my last point here is, I mean, it's amazing to see Boston Scott step up the way he has, not only in this game, like we forget what he did. You know, in the last part
last
of last season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing what this guy just does, like, in crunch time. And I just, you know, shout out to Boston Scott, man.
Well, great call, Dom. Great
interesting
call.
Fact about Boston Scott. I wish I had the exact number in front of me. But something like 60% of his career yards are against
the
Giants.
Giants?
Yeah, like, he is a Giant killer.
I mean, look, if he did not look great through the first five games of the season or something.
Well, nobody did.
Yeah, nobody did. But him in particular compared to, like, that was something we were excited about, is like Boston Scott getting that opportunity at the end of last year, coming back, being the backup this year. Like, he's going to be part of the offense. They're going to use him in the passing game. They're going to do fun stuff. And we haven't seen much of it. And who knows, maybe it's just the situation allowed them to scheme for him more or whatever. But he certainly looked a little more burst, a little faster, a little more, you know, explosive.
Well, the interesting thing about that play, the game-winning touchdown, phenomenal throw by Carson. Also an amazing catch
both
by Boston
amazing.
Scott.
Both.
And you have to wonder, like, does Miles Sanders make that catch? Because they have not been on the same page this year.
I don't know a lot of people that do. And also the size as part of the window. Like, who knows? If, you know, so a fascinating question.
I also don't think it's a coincidence that Boston Scott started to look good once Carson started playing better. The quarterback just fixes a lot of things.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Princeton and talk to my good buddy Billy T. William.
Jimmy, Elliot, listen,
what up?
I, you know, we're beating up Doug a lot, and with some dude, you know, on that. But, you know, what is wrong with the way we evaluate talent? We have these two kids catching passes in the National Football League, have great hands. They look the ball in to their hand. They follow the football with their nose, and they just make great plays. Where have they been?
Yeah,
it's a great Billy. It's a great question. You can even like transfer it back to last year. We were saying the exact same thing about Greg Ward over those last few weeks. We're like, why the hell wasn't this guy on the roster earlier? Why was he on the practice squad? It is interesting to see a guy like Fulgham come up and be like, what? Like, and, why wasn't he here sooner?
A less exciting example, but I think an equally important one. This team started Jamon Brown, who played terrible,
yep,
and then put in Su Opeta next week, who wasn't great, but played better than Jamon Brown. Like,
well, anyone would have played better than
but
Brown.
But I'm just saying, there are examples of where guys that are going in are playing better than the
starters.
I think
Mailata is a perfect example. Andre Dillard, right? The whole thing, and I know he's a first-round pick and all that, but you cannot convince me that Andre Dillard is a better player than Jordan Mailata now. Like, if he were healthy, Jordan Mailata is a better football player. Why was that guy? I remember during training camp, you were talking about the potential he might not even make the team. And now this guy's a starting left tackle and a potential piece for the future.
So it's not just that, but we let two defensive backs go. Now, I know Douglas, you know, was horrible on a long field. But on a short
I
field,
loved Rasul. Billy, you're talking to two guys who loved Rasul Douglas and were upset he was gone, so we're with you.
Absolutely. One of the best tacklers in the secondary next to Malcolm.
One of the best tackling corners I remember in an Eagles uniform. Like, that dude was a great tackler.
Absolutely. And right now we have a problem covering a tight end, don't we? Wouldn't that be great to have that guy on the football team that has length and can cover a tight end? Come on. So anyway, hey, listen, with Daniel Jones – doing a Joe DiCamaro.
Billy.
Why should run it down the field? I was laughing my ass off.
That was great, Billy. That was great.
Right. Hey,
great call,
great
brother.
Show,
thanks, man. Yeah, Daniel Jones going down was, a rough moment for the young man.
There's been some debate about whether I could score a touchdown in an NFL game.
Some debate, yes.
Yeah, I think it's been a hot topic, I would say.
Yes.
I could have scored on that play.
Well, again, as I told you when you said this to me before, you could have maybe scored when he fell down. If you just had to run that little bit, you're not getting all the
I don't know, man. That hole was pretty wide open.
Do you know how fast NFL players are? You out of your mind?
Yeah, they're fast.
You think you could have taken that hole and run 80 yards or 90 yards?
Did you
crazy?
See my 5K time this morning?
Oh, man.
Apparently not. You might want to log on Twitter and check that out before you start talking reckless about what I can and can't do.
215-592-9494. I promise, coming up next, Elliot's going to tell you why Jake Elliott is not going anywhere. Something, actually, I will say, Elliott can kick a football. I've actually seen him do
it. I'm a two-time field goal champion before you start, saying what I can't do.
Can't run away from NFL defenders, though. 215-592.
Well, if Nicole Roby Coleman's not running.
Yeah, that's true. Dude, he just gave up on that play. That was brutal.
Credit to Jalen Mills.
Yeah, you're right. Mills had a good game. That pick was nice, too. 215-592-9494. A full hour to go for us. It's Go Birds Radio. We are coming right back. But let me remind you yet again that so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us and set up their accounts and are having a blast. Legally betting on sports games makes the games more fun. Like you, we all love the home teams, and that's why we go with the home team and have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. Our team at Parx Casino Sportsbook are right here in Bucks County. That means your action, your money. They're safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app, the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app, bet with the best. You can bet on any game on the slate tomorrow. Of course, you can bet on yardage. You can bet on points at halftime, over, under, everything. I already told you I love Buffalo tomorrow. I'll give you another one. Both Elliot and I cannot believe that Chicago is a 6-point underdog against LA. They're a better team. They're going to win that game. You know who is going to go in there and make it happen. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, $500. Here's what you do. You just download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. That's PARXcasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. Second hour of Go Birds Radio presented by Parx Sportsbook and Casino, leading you up to 3 o'clock. I believe Rob L is coming up after that. I will check on that. The legend, Robbie E. After, Elliot Short, Parx, James Seltzer. All right, Elliot, we'll go back to the phones in 1 second, but I've heard a lot of cut Jake Elliott. I've heard a lot of, okay, at least if nothing else, bring some kickers in, try some guys out. Like, this guy's in a funk.
Yep.
What do you do? Elliot, tell everyone who might not know why it is highly unlikely Jake Elliott is going anywhere.
Because Howie Roseman handed Jake Elliott a 5-year, $21 million contract. I think it was last offseason. It might have been during the year last year.
I think it was last November.
During the year last
something,
year.
October, or November last year.
And Jake Elliott's a very good kicker. He's not kicking it like it right now, but he is. I could see why you would I could see why you'd want to lock
him
up.
Look, he's made some big kicks for this team.
But the issue with locking up a kicker long term is things go south quickly.
It's so volatile, man.
Remember Alex Henry?
So all these guys, like, there's so many of these guys who feel like the best kicker in the league, other than like the Justin Tuckers, who are truly the all-time greats.
Right.
Like, I feel like all these guys fluctuate, and that's why they're on so many different teams, and that's why, you know, it's
so. I don't think they're close to moving on from Jake Elliott, but he has missed a field goal in three straight games. Two of those games were extremely close. I mean, the Ravens one, you know, not as much.
And one was a 29-yarder.
Yes, one was a 29-yarder.
That's a bad miss.
If the Eagles cut Jake Elliott this year, like if they were to cut him next week if he struggles again or whatever, $5 million in dead money, and it costs them $2 million in cap space. So right now they have, I think it's at around maybe 22 after redoing Fletcher Cox's deal. They would go down to $20 million if they cut Jake Elliott. And then next year for 2021, it's a $3 million dead cap hit if they hold on to him until June 1st. So they are locked into Jake Elliott. Their cap situation is not one where they can eat that type of dead money. You know, I think really the only thing you can do if he continues to struggle is put him on IR.
Like, well, that's what I was about to ask
you.
Hey,
I think you might be hurt, Jake.
That's what I was about to ask you. Like, can they say, oh, he's got a groin injury? Like, what are the – can you get any relief? Do you get any, like, if you
Jake would have to, you know, take part in it, right? I mean, if they were to say to Jake,
he'd have
like,
to agree?
Yeah, I mean, if they can't put him on IR against his will. So if he's legitimately hurt, they put him on. But if they say to him, like, look, Jake, you're a better kicker than you are right now. Let's get an MRI on your leg, see what's going on. And then it says, oh, you know, it looks like maybe a few weeks would help you. Like, you could do something like that, but you're not getting any cap relief. The only benefit of replacing Jake Elliott as opposed to replacing, you know, a offensive lineman or something like that is a kicker is going to be extremely cheap to bring in. Like, a kicker that's still available right now, frankly, is not very good, but also is not going to cost anything more than the bare minimum. So there are ways to get around Jake Elliott, but cutting him is not going to happen unless it gets really, really bad and they just have to eat the money. But I don't think it'll get to that point.
Man. Remember when we used to talk about how Howie Roseman made no mistakes with the cap? I was like, perfect.
Really, what's the last contract he's handed out?
I mean, we've had a lot of misses. I mean, the Alshon thing is obviously the most glaring in terms of just everyone knowing what a disaster it is. But, I mean, the Deshaun decision, this, Jason Peters. I mean, it's
Javon Hargrave.
Javon Hargrave. What happened to that guy, yeah, man? Like, it's been strange, man. Like, he has really gone downhill over the last year plus in these types of decisions.
And this is a different conversation. And look, I started the show off by saying I don't care that they're bad right now. I just want them to be good come playoff time, and that's all that will matter. But when you talk about, like, if it does get ugly, if it is, you know, 4-11-1 or whatever, and they do decide major changes need to happen, one of Howie's flaws is he is emotionally attached to players. And if you're going to rebuild, you're going to have somebody come in here that can say, you know, I don't care that Jason Peters is an all-time great Eagle. I don't care that Deshaun Jackson is. Like, you have to have someone come in and move on from these guys. And that if it does fall apart, then, and you're looking for a new GM, that is definitely one benefit of moving on from Howie. Is I do think Howie gets too emotionally attached.
I think that's very clear, no matter
what he
says.
He'll probably tell you that, honestly.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Delran and talk to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? I really like what you just said as far as emotionally attached. Now, I'm going to kind of talk real high level and get down to Howie. You know, if you do a certain job, you know, anything, you kind of know what your strengths and weaknesses are, and they kind of evolve. It's just the way it is. I'm not going to be a brain surgeon. I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, maybe I could become a doctor, but I don't have those capabilities and be able to recognize that. Then you don't go into that area.
Mm-hmm.
With Howie, I think he must realize he's missing on a lot of these college draft picks. And at some point, I think you have to look within yourself and say, look, I'm good at contract negotiation. I'm good at getting free agents or whatever his strengths are. I'm not good at this. So let me get somebody who will be good at this and make the picks. Mm-hmm. And I think the big impediment in a lot of these guys and a lot of people in general is your
ego. Yep.
You got to let your ego go. And I wish somebody would have a heart-to-heart talk with them and say, let's get somebody who's got a great track record. We need to get this. We all want to get a world championship. This is going to be the fastest way to do it.
Well, and the interesting part about your point is if – and I don't know if he should do that, but if he decided to do it, it would prolong his time here, right?
Well,
I mean, if he's willing
to
do something.
Somebody, I think he's great in contract negotiation, and he's got his skills
Bob,
and numbers.
Bob, I think the other really interesting part about your point is that this was what we were told how he did, right? I mean, wasn't that when he was shoved in a closet, he comes back, I need to work better with others, they bring Joe Douglas in, this and that. It feels like how he's kind of reverting back to the issues he had before, you know, the whole chip thing happened.
And I think if he doesn't do it, then he's being selfish and not thinking of the entire Eagle organization and fan base. And I would say that, you know, if I was there, I would say that. You're not thinking of everybody. I have my strengths. You have your weakness. I have my weaknesses. You need to fill those in with certain personnel. And if he doesn't do it, then he's being selfish.
Bob, look, terrific call. Call us more often.
Look, I don't want to say drafting's hard and just let Howie off the hook, but drafting is really hard, right? So, I mean, we can't expect Howie to hit on all these picks. Now, his drafting has not been great. I mean, 2018 starting to look better. Josh Sweat's looking like he's a steal in the fourth round. Yep. Goddard is a good player. Maddox is a good player. But I also wonder from Howie's perspective, if he sits there and says, well, look, Sidney Jones is playing well in Jacksonville. Like, Rasul Douglas is playing well in Carolina. The issue is not the evaluation of these players. Like, I'm drafting talented players. The issue is once they get here, what's happening. Well, I don't know if I think that's the case, but if he's talking about
sure
how he
can
would
convince
view
himself
it.
Of that potentially, but at the same time, like, on a basic level, and I'm sure you agree with this, and I don't know if Howie does or doesn't, but that it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it has to come back on Howie Roseman because he's the general manager. He's the one who's hiring these coaches. He's the one who's having them
100%.
So, like, ultimately, it has to come back on Howie, whether the player works out on your team or not.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is how long do we think Jeffrey Lurie's leash is on Howie right now? Because you can really make an argument for either side. You could say this is Howie's first down year. They're a playoff team the last 3 years. They won the Super Bowl, all those things. And then you can just as justifiably flip it and say the arrow is pointing down. They won the Super Bowl, won a playoff game, didn't win a playoff game, and we'll see what happens this year. So it's not an easy decision by any stretch.
215-592-9494. Let's go to my good buddy in Cincinnati. Yo, Mark. What up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
What up?
Okay, so, you know, when it comes to Howie and Doug, you know, with this whole debate, I think that we can agree that they haven't done a good job with protecting Carson this year. With the depth of the front line, and also, you know, not coming into the season with a running back, like a short yardage back was a big mistake, and that's really evident right now. So is there anything, you know, with the trade deadline? Because I agree with you guys, you know, it's not a great team, but I'd rather, you know, have a chance at winning a playoff game rather than, you know, tanking.
Getting Carson playoff experience. Getting Carson playoff experience.
Yeah.
Getting all these young guys, like Fulgham, Mailata, any of these guys who you think could be a part of your future, getting them not just playoff experience, but experience playing meaningful games down the stretch, all those reps, I think all that stuff does matter in a long-term thing, you know?
Well, and Mark, to your question about the trade deadline, that's why I'm not as against buying as other people are. Like, I don't want to give up a second-round pick unless it's somebody that's a stud young player you know can be here, but I'm okay giving up a fifth-round pick for a player that I think can solidify the guard position, or, you know, if you think Miles is going to be in and out of the lineup all year, then maybe a better backup running back. Like, I'm okay with doing those things because I do think getting to the playoffs has its advantages.
Absolutely. Plus, we get to watch another week of Eagles football.
Well, that,
there you go.
And, Mark, that was something I talked about on the post-game body on the radio show yesterday, the idea that with so many people being so negative about that loss, and again, I get it, they're not a good team. I get it, the Giants are bad. But the idea that, like, we get, at worst, 16 of these games a year, and that's it. And you get a chance to win a game in thrilling fashion on Thursday Night Football in front of the national audience. Yes, we didn't look great, all that stuff, but, like, at least take some joy in it.
So,
at least say that was super fun. We won, we didn't lose, you know?
When the Eagles were... go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, if you're an Eagles fan, And when Brandon Graham made that strip sack to end the game, which is, talk about positives, one of the few positives on defense.
Oh yeah, he's having a monster here.
Mark, great call. Brandon Graham is having a great season. He's
so
been awesome.
When the Eagles were driving for the game winning touchdown, I put a poll up on Twitter and I said, "Do you want the Eagles to win this game? Do you want to guess what percentage wanted them to win the game?"
In the moment?
In the moment.
60%.
65.
Wow.
So close. But think about that.
I mean, yeah, you would think. I mean, it should be
35%.
It should be 98%.
35% of the fan base did not want them
to
win.
Pretty wild.
And they're not completely wrong.
Well,
but
look, I tweeted, and the first touchdown, the when it was 21-10, they scored so quickly. Like, by the time I tweeted it, John Hightower had the catch, and they were down the field. But I was like, all right, time to root for Jamar Chase now, essentially, because, like, it felt like the season was over at that moment.
Well, and
we'll
that
all
is
be bathing.
That is the one downside to potentially making the playoffs. The only downside, in my opinion, is if you make the playoffs, you're basically going from probably a top 10 pick to, like, I don't know, 19, something like that.
Yeah,
18,
it's
19.
A massive
so
jump.
And not only that, the other teams in your division are all going to be in the top 10. So,
well, and also coming off a year last year where, and again, I wanted them to make the playoffs. I'm happy they did, but you can literally point to them making the playoffs over Dallas as the difference between getting CeeDee Lamb or not getting CeeDee Lamb. Literally.
You know? Let's see what Jalen Reagor can do.
No.
To be fair, it's not his fault he's hurt.
I know. I just know he's not Justin Jefferson. I'll tell you that much.
No, he's not.
215-592-9494. Let's talk to our good buddy, Ja'Cory. Hey, Ja'Cory. Ja'Cory! All right, Ja'Cory not ready to go. We'll get Ja'Cory back. Let's get some pipes on the show. The man, the myth, the legend. Let's go to New Mexico and talk to David. Hey, Dave.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
What up, man?
You know what? I have been upset after a lot of Eagle games, but I have never been as upset as I was after that Thursday night game.
Wow. Talk to me, man. Why?
I was livid. I was absolutely livid. And I thought to myself, after sitting back and rewatching it and, you know, going over it, and nothing has changed. I'm still mad. Doug needs to be fired. Okay, I am sick of this. This is crazy. Do you know in Yaffle football that they better kick the field goal, and they don't kick field goals in Yaffle football?
Yeah, no, you know, I would have kicked it. The Akeem Butler play, I would have kicked the field goal there in that moment, but, you know.
Well, but you want him to be aggressive, right?
In general,
okay,
yeah, I do.
Okay, it's okay to be aggressive. Let's not be stupid, okay? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with basic football 101, okay? You go down by one, and you come back and let your defense play some ball, and you don't put so much pressure on your team to chase points. It's ridiculous. Points are hard enough to get without you having to go out and chase them.
Right, yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. I would have kicked it, too. I'm just saying a criticism of Doug is he hasn't been as aggressive this year, and I think that is a spot where you can at least justify the decision to be aggressive. I mean, the offense has been struggling. You're close to the goal line. So I would have kicked it, but your point's
there. And again, Dave, here's what I'll say. And again, I would have kicked it, but my biggest problem wasn't – I can understand going for it in that spot. I can at least understand the rationale.
The play call.
Like, don't throw a fade route, which is a lazy play call to begin with, to a guy who hasn't had a target all year. Like, that's my bigger issue.
And his play calling overall was abysmal, okay? Abysmal. All right, look, Doug Peterson has wasted half this season trying to prove to everybody he's as smart as Frank Reich. Stop it, okay? He needs to get an offensive coordinator, just promote Deuce Daly to offensive coordinator, and let Marty Morningwig be his assistant and call plays. He needs to remove himself from that position. He's a motivator of men. He knows how to keep people in charge. He knows how to mold talent as far as being encouraging. He's patient. He's a good coach. He's not a good play caller. It's okay that you're not the smartest guy in the room, and sometimes you need to delegate.
So I can't defend some of Doug's play calling on Thursday night. I could see why on Thursday night you would come away frustrated. But
it was very frustrating.
But, I mean, look, they scored 28 points against the Ravens. They put up 29 against the Steelers. Those are two of the better scoring defenses in the league. Like,
and that's all,
he's
and
not
all
been perfect.
Well,
but
they should have put up 40.
But why? I mean, but part of this is execution as well. It just is.
That's very true.
Yeah, and I mean, Jake Elliott misses in the first. Carson Wentz red zone interception.
And The Miles Sanders drop against Baltimore.
The John Hightower drop against Baltimore. There are plays to be made. It's fair.
And the key to all that is that offensive line. That offensive line needs time to gel, and they haven't had it. So later on in the season, when people start to get healthy and they start playing together, I think this offense will be a lot better once those guys start to gel. You can't run flea flickers and end arounds and all that other stuff when these guys don't even know where their positions are. So until that line starts to play better, until they start to solidify, we're going to see different places on the offense that is going to get better. But Doug has got to release himself of that. You talk about pride, you talk about ego, that one needs to suffer.
Dave, great call. And look, I think that I have called for more creativity and stuff from Doug, too, as you and I went back and forth on stuff. And look, I think that I'm not saying I don't think Doug needs to give up play calling or whatever. I do think that he does seem like someone who might be better with some help. Like, clearly the best Doug we've seen was Frank Reich. Like, find someone who can be his right-hand man. Like, stop forcing him to hire coaches mm-hmm. who aren't his people. Like, give him a chance to work with somebody who can maybe help. You know, maybe he's a brainstorm. Like, I know I'm better at coming up with ideas, coming up with things if I'm doing it with someone else. If I'm bouncing ideas.
Yeah, no, I think that's the way
I think best. Yes. You know?
But we should also recognize that, like, Frank Reich was clearly overqualified to be an offensive 100%. Coordinator. Like, he is a head coach, right? So
Yes. You
are probably not going to find another offensive coordinator as good as Frank Reich.
And someone who was friends with Doug and they have a good relationship all that.
I also think it's so easy just to, like, lean on the Frank Reich thing and just say, like, Frank was the reason.
Well, again, I'm not saying that. I think people are always like, oh, it's Frank Reich. He's a true genius. No, I think the two of them together were great together.
Well, and look.
That's my,
Dave might have been being somewhat sarcastic, and he made a lot of good points. But, like, Doug is not out there trying to prove he's Frank Reich. I mean, I think
if anything, Frank Reich
team
is trying
two,
to prove
four,
he's
and
Doug.
One.
I mean, what are we talking about here?
The team is 2-4-1. I can't sit here and say anybody's doing a great job. But I firmly believe Doug is the least of the problems. I think execution and personnel is a bigger deal.
215-592-9494. All right. Normally, this is about an Eagles game coming up. But since the Eagles already played, let's look around the league. Elliot Shore Parks. All of football this weekend, all the games happening. Who is your player to watch? Brought to you by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Elliot, who are you watching this weekend?
Well, I think we can all agree we'd rather be watching an Eagles game.
You're damn right.
But with no game on, the player to watch is Andy Dalton.
And I agree with you.
The reason it is because what we saw on Monday night was a bad Cowboys team. If Andy Dalton starts to play better, and he wasn't the main problem on Monday night, but obviously, the Eagles' main competition for this division is the Cowboys, and they're only going to go as far as Andy Dalton takes them. I'm interested to see what he does against Washington, a team with a good defensive front. You know, defense overall not super great, but they can definitely get pressure, and especially because you're playing Andy Dalton next week.
Yeah.
So on a Sunday where you have the day off, you know, maybe flip around a little, but if you can watch Andy Dalton, I think you can really look at that game and get a better feeling for how good the Eagles' chances are of winning it. If the Cowboys go out, they lose to Washington, Andy Dalton struggles again, then you can just lock it in. I mean, the Eagles are winning this division.
It's a great chance
to look at them is big.
I agree with you. That's the player to watch, brought to you by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Totally with you there, I think. Especially against a good Washington D-line, like you mentioned. I think that's going to be really fascinating. It's very rare, like we said, that we get to, on a Sunday, just worry about looking at the team we're going to play instead of worrying about the Eagles. That should be a lot of fun. 215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio. A few open lines. Get in right now. 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Every don't go play.
Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer. Coming your way for about another 35 minutes. Robbie E., I believe. Not Robbie. Moshe, who's on next? John Johnson on next?
The Bama-Tennessee game, courtesy of Westwood 1.
I guess now we know why Justin from Tennessee hasn't
called.
Getting ready for a big one.
How about that? So Bama-Tennessee coming up next. I'd rather listen to Rob Ellis than Bama-Tennessee, but
it's a good game, though.
No, it's a big game. Check it out. Here on WIP, 215-592-9494. Let's go back out to the phones. So we're going to go to Keith and Mensaham. I very rarely read what is written here for me before, but he says, Elliot is driving me crazy with this Carson Wentz stuff.
And what did I say to you during the break?
You said, take that guy.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Keith, lay it on him, brother. Do what you got to do.
What's up? I'm Seltzer.
How you doing, man?
And ESP.
What up, Keith?
What's up, buddy? What I have to say is when I watch an Eagles game anymore, especially the last couple of weeks, I see improvement in the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I see an exciting player. I see the best player on the team, is what I say. And when your team goes for it on fourth down at the 3-yard line, how about your defense standing up, keeping them, and you get good field position? It's everybody puts it on Wentz. And when I see him, when he plays freelancing, he's a wonderful player to watch. Listen, John Elway didn't win a playoff game or a Super Bowl until he was, 38?
Yeah, that's an anomaly, though. I mean, there's a reason.
No. Elway went to other Super Bowls prior to
that. Yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
I thought he said didn't win a playoff game.
Oh, maybe.
No, didn't win a Super Bowl.
Okay, I thought you said playoff game. My fault.
Right. But what I'm saying is that he's the most exciting player on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, but,
I
but
like
so,
watching him.
So, but here would be my counter. And I agree. He has absolutely improved each of the last 3 weeks. I thought Thursday was his best game. And if you would have asked me prior to Thursday, I would have said Baltimore was his best game. So he has definitely improved. The only way I'll push back on you is, yes, the defense can't allow a long drive. All those things are true. Carson is making critical mistakes that are hurting this team. The interception last week, the fumble against Baltimore. I mean, he is tied for the league lead in interceptions among the quarterback position. And if you add in fumbles, I think he's number one. I don't know where Daniel Jones would be after Thursday night. But he is, if not the main reason, he's one of the main reasons they are 2-4-1. He has played poorly for the majority of this season. He has improved, and that's good, right? It's good that he was better against the Giants than he was against Baltimore. I think he will play good against Dallas. But to say that, you know, it's the defense's fault or anything, like, there's a reason you pay Carson franchise quarterback money. It's because you expect him to be the reason you win games. That's why you invest such a large portion of your salary.
I mean, I think he was the reason they won that game.
He was.
And the thing is, though, Elliot, the thing is, week after week, to me, the more he feels like he's scrambling, he's running, he's staying out of traffic, he has no offensive line, he just seems to be more relaxed in this role. And I just think that.
But he's also making critical. But he's also making big mistakes when he's doing this freelancing too. And I also think on a larger scale, the bar has lowered for Carson. Like the expectations of where like this city now is like, wow, Carson had a great game, is lower than what it was.
But again, it's all context dependent. He is playing with a bunch of backups,
yeah,
man. Like this stuff matters. Like it's not, he does not have an all-star roster around him. In 2017, that roster was stacked.
Well, like, and he made the roster better, to be
agree,
fair.
I mean, but I think you could argue he's making guys better. Like I think you could argue that he's making some of these
mistakes he's making are not because of other players. Like the fumble against Baltimore.
I think he needs to not do hero ball stuff. Like that is the
That's a big part of it, is my point. Like, when you look at why this team is 2-4-1, in my opinion, the biggest reason has been quarterback play. It's the reason why they won on Thursday night.
It's roster.
No,
it's roster.
Carson is turning it over more than any other quarterback in the league.
He's doing the best he can with a group of nobodies
but the mistakes are not happening because of the players around him, is my point. Unless you want to say he feels a need to do more.
Yes, that's literally what I just said.
Okay, but the interception against the Giants was a reckless throw.
It was just a
bad
throw.
Against Baltimore.
I agree. The fumble against Baltimore is the one fumble you could argue. Like, if I thought his knee was down, but even then, like, he's got to be more careful with the ball. But, you know, at least that one, it felt like that was not like one of the other fumbles that he had.
And I credit Carson for how hard he's been playing. Like, I understand. Remember prior, this was, I guess, a discussion about a year ago, if not a year and a half. There was a lot of discussion about Carson needs to protect himself better. Remember, that was like coming off the ACL, the back injury. I always thought that was overblown. Like, I didn't think Carson really took a lot of reckless hits. And I think you're seeing that this year. There's very few times Carson, like, lowers his shoulder. I think he did it against the Baltimore fumble. But when he gets hit, generally, there's not much avoiding it. So that area of the game was always – I thought that criticism was overblown. I think the doing too much thing is a little overblown as well. The bottom line is the turnovers just have to stop, period. Like, you cannot turn it over as much as he is turning it over and win games. You can't.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, look, this is the first year he's had a problem with interceptions ever. Like,
yeah, so, but last year, he's, according to some advanced.
Look, the fumbles are an issue. I know. Like, he needs to.
He had a lot of dropped interceptions.
Regardless, you can't say the interceptions have been a big problem.
They have not been a problem.
So, and it is this year, and you could assume at least that maybe that's something he can fix if it's something that hasn't been a career-wide issue for him. Let's go to Berwyn and talk to Mike. Yo, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What up, man? How you doing?
Good. I just had a question. I mean, Howie has not done a good job the last couple of years.
You're not going to get fight back.
What do you think about bringing Joe Douglas back if he gets let go with the Jets?
The chance of bringing Joe Douglas back?
I don't think they're going to let go of him. I know they're horrendous. I think they fire Adam Gase before they fire Joe Douglas. I think they let Joe Douglas. I mean, Joe Douglas didn't pick Adam
Gase. Yeah, Joe Douglas will not be fired.
I think they'll let Joe Douglas hire a head coach would be my guess before they get rid of him. Look, I would take Joe Douglas back for sure to work with Howie, clearly.
Would you take him back to replace Howie?
I would take anyone back to replace Howie at this point. I like Joe Douglas, but I think Joe Douglas might be better set for what Howie's better set for a situation where he worries about one thing and someone else worries about the other, you know?
I just think Howie did better when he was just doing the numbers.
Well, he wasn't just doing the numbers there, Mike. He was, you know, still had final say when Douglas was here, and thanks for the call. But I do think that Howie does need someone with it. Look, Howie's not a, no matter what he wants to say or whatever, Howie's not a personnel guy long term. Like, he's not a personnel expert. He's not someone who's scouted. He's not someone who's been out on the road, who's done all those things, who's seen what works, what doesn't, who knows what they're looking at, so to speak. Like, you can't, Howie does need help.
Well, it's funny when people call in, and we say this as well, but, like, yeah, of course Howie would be better if he had one of the, you know, and of course Doug would be better if he had another great, you know, like, it's like saying in basketball where, well, Ben Simmons would be great if he was surrounded by shooters. Well, any player would be great if they were surrounded by shooters. So I think that, you know, Howie, he's had a rough year and a half. He definitely has. You look at some of how his free agency moves have worked out, the contracts, the draft picks, all that. It's just a matter of whether Jeffrey Lurie gives him a chance to turn it around. But I think that
I think he probably will.
He gets one more offseason. Mm-hmm. I think if this time next year the team is, you know, 1-4-1 or 2-4-1 or whatever, then they're in real trouble. Howie is in real trouble. Yeah. They are as well, but Howie is in real trouble.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Redding and talk to Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, James. How you doing, man?
Good to talk to you, man. What's on your mind today?
So, a couple of things. I feel that the caller was on to something a little bit earlier about how much Doug takes on as the play caller and whatnot. I'm not saying he shouldn't call plays, but I do have an issue with the way that we're running the ball. And I, you know, we have running backs that can play a little bit. It's not like none of those guys can play. I think they're being used wrong. If, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've seen three in particular running plays being just the running plays we do every time, either from the shotgun, two different plays, one inside zone or off tackle. And then the other one is from the single back formation, basically just the dive between the center and guard or off tackle bounce out. That's ridiculous. Like, how can you not scheme up more ways to use the running backs you have?
This is something John Ritchie has brought up a lot, for what it's worth. He has been consistently critical of the scheming of run
and
plays.
I should note, for a lot of people out there that want Deuce Staley to be the head coach of the offense coordinator, Deuce is the run game coordinator. So if you're not happy with what you've seen from the running game, I mean, that's on Deuce. It's on Doug ultimately, but it's also on Deuce.
So do you really believe that Deuce is the one scheming up the plays?
I think it's a collaborative effort. I mean, I can tell you it's a collaborative effort down there. Look, ultimately, much like it all falls on Howie, ultimately the play calls fall on Doug. He's the one calling them. I'd imagine he has final say in how they're designed and all that. I'm just highlighting that if your issue is with the run game, that is what Deuce is in charge of.
I have issues with both then, because if they can't come up with more creative runs than that, then you're not going to have success.
But when you say creative, I mean, I get it. Obviously, you want to see, like, you know, the flea flickers that we saw. I mean,
the trickery.
Yeah, I mean,
they did
run a play where Jalen Hurts threw it to Carson and Carson threw it back.
What Brett's talking about is more just your consistent, like Kyle Shanahan, like the way that guy has a running game, like the movement that's going on, the different guys that are being used, bringing wide receivers in, all of it. Like, and yes, it is misdirection and trickery in a way, but it's their running game. Like, that's what they do as a running offense.
I think that's fair to criticize Doug. I think personnel is part of it as well. But sorry, go ahead.
For God's sakes, there's, like, use some two-back sets with a tight end that could do a lead block. I mean, there's so many things you do. Can't tell me you don't have personnel enough to get creative to do things differently with the run game. And I think that's part of why Carson's getting killed. He's just getting laid out there with an offensive line that does not have any kind of experience except for Jason Kelce for the most part. Mm-hmm. And you want the teams know. Like, they can just stack eight guys or seven guys close to the box even when they're passing.
Brett, really good call. And look, I'm not a play schemer or whatever, but that is something that John Ritchie has talked about a lot, like consistently over and over and over again, that there is not enough new wrinkles and not new creativity in the running game. To your point, though, like, offensive line, you know, personnel does matter in that spot as well.
Yeah, and maybe I'm being too easy on Doug. I just look at, you know, 28 points against the Ravens, 29 against the Steelers, and I hate to keep going back to that, but that matters. Like, creative, not creative, you know, innovative new plays, whatever. Bottom line business, they have been putting up points over the last 3 weeks, and it took them until the fourth to put those points up on Thursday, and I didn't like some of Doug's play call, but the points are still coming. At least they are coming more than they did earlier in the year.
Yeah, and again, I do think that's what makes some of these arguments so difficult, whether it's Carson or Doug or whatever.
They're also tied together.
Yeah, and they're also tied together, and also the roster's also tied together. Like, we just talked about, like, you don't know if Doug's playbook has to be, you know, this much smaller because he didn't have enough time with the guys who were going to be out on the field to practice these plays. And all these, there's so many little, like, if this, then this, then that, that we don't know that makes it hard to judge certain things.
And I think that's why, look, I still think that they're going to make the playoffs probably, and I think they have a chance to win a playoff game. But I think that's why one of the most concerning stats about this team is there's something like, you know, 15-18-1 since 2018. Like, they are a team that the core, you know, Howie's roster being coached by Doug, Doug's offense being executed by Carson, like, something is not working. Like, I think they're better than 2-4-1, but they have not shown they are a 10-plus win team consistently, and that's what the Eagles should be. Like, the Eagles are one of the best franchises in the league. We're not talking about the Browns and being happy that, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. The Eagles should be a consistent playoff team, and just overall, their record has not shown an elite franchise type of record.
215-592-9494. One more segment to go, leading you up to a little college football after that. It's Go Birds Radio. It's Elliot. It's James. And again, let me remind you that so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us and set up their accounts and are having a blast. Legally betting on sports games makes the games more fun. Like you, we all love the home teams. That's why we go with the home team and have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. Our team at Parks Casino Sportsbook, they're right here in Bucks County. That means your action, your money, they're safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. It's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. The Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. Sign up now. Get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, $500. You can bet on any game on the slate. I already told you. I love Buffalo, -10.5. I love Chicago, +6 on Monday night. And you know what? I'll even throw Washington in there, -1 against Dallas. I think that D-line gives a lot of problems to Dallas, to that Dallas offense. So I think they got a good shot in that one, too. Sign up now. You can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's G-O-B-I-R-D-S to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. That's parkscasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. Final segment for us. It's Go Birds Radio presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino, leading up to a little Alabama-Tennessee action coming up next on WIP. It's Elliot. It's James. One more segment to go. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Delaware and talk to our good buddy, Michael. How are you, Michael?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. Hey, before I ask you my question, you would ask who's we're going to be watching the player. And the only player I've ever been interested in watching that left Philadelphia is Nick Foles. So I'm going to watch Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's prime time, right?
Yeah, he is. Monday Night Football.
Yep. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, you know, he's the one who brought the Super Bowl. The Eagles may not win again for a long, long time. And not because Carson Wentz is bad, but because a million little things and big things have to go right.
Yeah.
To get there, and he's the one who did it. It's that simple.
Well, 2017 really showed that, yeah, it's about having the best roster, and I get that. But
there's magic,
once you're special, that's really what matters.
And it also showed it, and we should have known it, obviously, because it took us 52 years for it to happen. But it's really freaking hard to win the Super Bowl. You know,
it's really hard.
Like, Carson could not win a Super Bowl, and his career could still be a success here.
I would argue because he was a part, like, helped them win that Super Bowl, he's already a success.
Well,
I mean,
that's for another show.
It is. It's a whole different, you know, discussion. But anyway, what's on your mind, Michael?
Okay, here's my question to you guys. This play really irritated me, and I didn't hear anybody talking about it. I'm a guy who thinks that if you're going to go for 2 points, you go to your special play bag and you pull out something that may be a little different that they're not looking for. Eagles were handed a gift the other night near the end of the game. You remember the play? They got a penalty. Now they have the ball on the 1 yard line to get the 2 points. You remember the play?
Of course. Yeah. That was for the 2 point conversion. The last one. Yep.
Okay. So they're given the gift. They got 1 yard to go.
Or the second
one. The play call is to take it in the shotgun. You give up that 1 yard advantage. Now you're 6-7 yards back.
It's a good point.
Okay. That's fine if you got some kind of play that trick, but the play seemed to be just to have Carson run right back up.
It was, which is weird considering they've done that sneak twice already that hadn't worked. If you're going to do it, just let Carson try and do it. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do. It hadn't worked from under center, so he's trying to give him a little bit of a chance to go, you know, have a little bit of movement or whatever, a chance to kind of get up some speed. But I'm with you, Michael. I hated the call.
Oh, thank you. And I really thought it really irritated me, and it just kind of put a cap on Doug's play calling for me. I just think it's been pretty poor. So
he's definitely had some bad play calls.
Yeah,
no,
and again, especially
that.
In short yardage. Like, he just had a rough night.
Well,
short yardage
the interesting thing about bringing out Jalen Hurts is, so you have Carson run the ball up the middle, and then you have Jalen Hurts come in, and they looked like they tried to have him throw it. Like, and Jalen Hurts can throw the ball. I saw him in training camp. He could definitely
throw
the ball.
The only throw he's really thrown other than the toss back was a nice pass.
Yeah,
it was like a rocket.
Look, I'm still against the whole Jalen Hurts package.
Too.
I just want to see Carson run the offense.
Well,
and
my bigger problem with that specific thing was that final 2-point conversion. It's like Carson has literally just walked them down the field twice in 5 minutes, made his best throw of, you said, his career, certainly one of the best of his career. He is like white hot at that moment, and then you take him off the field.
It makes
no sense to me.
I really didn't like that call. The Jalen Hurts thing is just like, either put him in a quarterback or just let Carson do his thing. And it's not, I don't think they should bench Carson by any stretch, but the two quarterback system is not going to work. It's foolish.
A reason that we are however many years into NFL football as we are, and people don't do it.
Yep.
Like, there's a reason. All right. 215-592-9494. Let's go to West Philly and talk to Jay. Yo, Jay.
Yo, what's going on, y'all?
What up? Hey, how you
man?
Doing?
How you been? You've been
ESP, got a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you swear to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Good. You're going to be my vice president against the LTBB or whatever.
Wait, and I was going to say, what do you think of Wentz last few weeks, Jay? I know where you stand.
Look, because we are the WTT and we will debate them one day.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm excited to be your vice president.
Thanks, ESP. And the left tackle over there.
Poor Joe Giglio just got shut out. I mean, I thought he would have been a good candidate.
He can be in the cabinet.
Yeah, he in the cabinet. Because we got to go against the left tackle over here. He blocked everything that come his way. And as soon as you tell the truth about him, he jump up. But look, you want Dougie P to be consistent or imaginative. But how can he do that with a quarterback that's inconsistent and want to do everything willy-nilly?
Excellent point by my president. Excellent point by my president. Now, go ahead, James.
I mean, Jay, what do you want the guy to do, man? He's out there playing with you and me out there,
man.
I'm blocking for him. That was me blocking for him on Thursday night. My man is out there battling, man.
If he does what he's supposed to do and let the ball go on time, like you said, Fulcrum out there, how many times he missed him the other day? You got an emerging player there. I guess that was Doug's fault that threw the ball 10 feet high to Miles Sanders.
Also, when we want to talk about moving like the field goal or the goalpost for Carson, I'm happy he's out there playing hard, but like he's supposed to go out there and play hard. So let's not act like he's worth the franchise deal because he's playing hard.
Again, there's a difference between going out and throwing your body on the line and getting bashed every play. And
like all the bad throws he's doing, just like that Sanders throw. That was
brutal,
a bad
man.
Throw.
Angry,
that
man.
Was that Sanders?
What did Carson do to you, Jay? What did Carson do to you?
It's so funny how anytime someone calls and expects the Eagles to win with Carson at quarterback,
that got less playoff wins than Rodney Pete with my team.
Yeah, you know what, though? He also helped this team win a Super Bowl, man. Like,
he
they don't win a
playoffs.
Super Bowl without Carson.
He
they don't win a Super
playoffs.
Bowl without. It doesn't matter. They needed that one seed.
You could have lost in the first round, right? You could have lost in the first round.
Come on, Jay.
Look, eventually we're going to have to start expecting Carson to win games around
here. It's 5 years and he hasn't even got through a playoff quarter yet.
Yep.
But y'all telling me you're an elite franchise quarterback.
Jay, it's always a pleasure, man. I'll talk to you later. Good call. Look,
I'm excited to be vice president.
Yeah, you both got going.
He's a very good
all
president,
of a sudden,
I'm happy to support
the
him.
The twinkle in Elliot's eye. He's like, yeah, I've been too nice
to
Carson.
Well, it's true. I mean,
Let's go.
People call in and, you know, his point is basically like, when's this guy going to be expected to win? I mean, what's the last franchise quarterback here where the Eagles could lose and he can still
again,
get?
Again, put some people around this guy. Like, give him an offensive line that has played together more than a game. Give him wide receivers who've been with him more than a few games. Like, build a team around this guy, man. Like,
that's part of it.
You know, I mean, that does matter, especially with young receivers. You know, he's like those graphics. Like, I know they're kind of silly and all, but like the graphics of like Carson has thrown the ball to more receivers than any quarterback in the league. Like, that stuff matters. Like, that is not meaningless.
It does, but Carson also has to play better. And that matters more. It does matter more. What you're saying is what you're saying matters, but Carson playing better matters more.
George, save me. George in North Wilmington, how are you, buddy?
Good. I'm not going to sing today.
Okay. Well, you were a good singer. I thought it was impressive yesterday. I thought you were going to say I'm not going to save you, and I was like, wow, that's cool.
No. I'm in your corner. Don't
Thank
worry.
Thank you, George.
You know.
Thank you.
Elliot, how you doing?
What up, man? How you doing?
Okay. I didn't know how that came through on the phone yesterday. I think it's kind of hard to sing on the
phone. I thought you sounded wonderful, George.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. The show, The Masked Singer, they called me and said, you know, stay with your day job. Anyway, a couple of questions. You were talking about play calling, and I noticed in Thursday's game and the previous game against the Ravens, when the Eagles got, like, inside the 20, 15, they ran a straight up the middle handoff to Boston Scott that went for, like, 6-7 yards each time. Why can't they use that as a two-point play?
It's a good question. I mean, if it's working, I think play calling, a lot of times, if it works, nobody questions it. Like, it does come down to execution. But, yeah, I've not been impressed with their short yardage play, their play calls at all. I've not been.
And that two-point pass to Whiteside, they used that once, and I never saw them use it again. He was wide open.
Yeah, I would like to see Carson throw the ball more in these two-point conversions.
Me too.
He's one of the best red zone quarterbacks in the NFL statistically. So I don't get this, you know, get down to the two-point conversion, all of a sudden you have him running it, you're putting Hurts in there. Like, just let Carson drop back, especially when I think he's best running when it's, you know, improvising, not designed.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess, what, tomorrow is a red zone day?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard not to listen to Merle tomorrow.
Oh, I thought for a second I was, like, thinking, like, he was talking about Eagles practice. Like, they're working on red zone stuff or something.
Since
the DeSean Jackson got hurt, if you happen to see next week somebody who's a little bit bigger than DeSean Jackson wearing a 10-A jersey, that's me. I'll be out on the field.
All right.
George, a pleasure, my friend. Have
he
a
can
great
do the
weekend.
National anthem, then he can
Yeah, it was sang yesterday. Today is the 4-year anniversary of the WIP Midday Show. 4 years ago today, we started the show.
Congratulations.
Yeah, George called in yesterday and sang a little happy anniversary to us, which is
very cool.
So, that's it, E. We're up. Yeah. What do you think tomorrow? You think Dallas, Washington, what do you think happens?
I think Dallas wins. I just don't think Washington is very good. I know they beat the Eagles, but Dallas... Like, you got to beat Washington, right? I mean,
can you imagine if they don't? It's a whole different thing.
I'm excited to see Andy Dalton plays, like I said. But Nick Foles on Monday night, excited to watch that. I mean, it is always nicer to have the weekend off on a Sunday when you're
able to just kind of relax and not worry about the stress and the
And have people excited coming off the win, too.
Well,
had they lost.
Especially off a win,
They lost. But, yeah, so the Dallas game tomorrow, red zone is amazing, but the Dallas game feels like what you sit in front of the TV and watch.
Same. Yes, I will be watching the Dallas game as well. Coming up next, a little Alabama-Tennessee. And Elliot and I will be back next week, Saturday, 1 to 3, same time, same place. Check out the pod all week. We have pods coming out at GoBirdsPod on Twitter, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, anywhere you find your podcast. We put out 3 or more a week, so check those out as well. Thank you to Moshe Kravitz. Thank you to Kevin Keenan. Prior to that, this has been, again, and for Elliot Short Barks, I'm James Seltzer. This has been another edition of Go Birds Radio presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Coming up next, Alabama and Tennessee.